going to bring the message this morning out of Isaiah 42. The Lord's servant shall not fail. He said in verse 1, behold, that is, pay attention. Give attention to this. My servant, whom I uphold, I approve of, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. The person spoken of here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God the Father's servant. It says on Philippians 2, he took upon him the form of a servant. He came to accomplish the salvation of his people from sin, death, and the law. By his obedience, by his work, by his death, by his righteousness. He magnified the law, made it honorable. He did this in the place of his people. He was upheld by his Father. He was approved by him. He said, whom I uphold. And he's the elect. And all who were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And he's the Father's delight. The Father said in the gospel, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he had the Spirit without measure. As a mediator, he had the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, without measure. And he shall bring forth truth and righteousness to the Gentiles. Now he's not going to cry or lift up his voice or be heard in the streets. He did not go about the streets crying and arguing with men. Christ did not do that. He was not a contentious person. He didn't come into this world to strive and dispute with false religion. He came to save. He came to save, not to argue. He came to save sinners. You cannot argue a man into salvation. A man must be born of God before he'll believe the gospel. Must be. That's why the Lord said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. For you to understand what I'm saying, you must be born again. And when he comes, he said, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment to truth. Our Lord said he was meek and lowly of heart. God's servant is kind to sinners. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. The Pharisees said, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? The smoking flax shall he not put out. He will help every sinner in need of him. Is there a sinner listening to me this morning who needs Jesus Christ? You need forgiveness. You need cleansing. Everyone who came to him out of need, spiritual need, he saved every one of them. He will not bruise or break, it says, a bruised reed. Sinners are welcome in his presence. Sinners were not welcome in the presence of those Pharisees, those self-righteous people. Sinners are not welcome in the presence of a bunch of self-righteous religious people. But they are welcome in the presence of the Son of God. He said, a broken and contrite spirit he will not despise. And his work shall be done in righteousness and truth. There was no sin in any word that he spoke and in the work that he performed. There was no sin in it. And he's not going to fail. It says there in verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. So he has set judgment in the earth and the isles are going to wait for his law. God's servant will not fail in his work. Jesus Christ did not fail. If anyone for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died for winds up in hell, then he failed. But he says here, he shall not fail. He will not be discouraged. And one of the reasons he will not be discouraged is because he will not fail. And he will not quit because the way is too hard. The way of redemption. The way of God showing mercy. The way of God being a just God and a Savior. It was a hard road. It was a very difficult work for him. But he did not quit. You know, we have a real tendency to quit when things get tough. But he'll not quit. He'll bear it the iniquity of his people. He will suffer God's wrath. He will suffer rejection, but he won't quit. Not till he's won the victory. And he will set forth righteousness in the earth. He'll establish an everlasting righteousness for his people. And salvation will come to us Gentiles. And people from all nations shall wait for his gospel. At one time all nations were left in darkness. The only one who had the gospel, the types and the pictures, was Israel. But now his name is known the world over. And he says here in verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I'll hold thine hand. I'll keep thee. And I'll give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Christ was called in a righteous manner, consistent with God himself. There's no sin in the one whom God called to this work, and no sin in the way he saves sinners. And God, he says here, God will be with him. He'll strengthen him. He's not alone. And the sum and substance of the covenant of grace is given to us in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the covenant of the people. And God gave him to be a light to us Gentiles. It's in Christ that we are illuminated. He's come and given us an understanding. He's come to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and then to sit in darkness out of the prison house. He came to open blind eyes. As that one man said, I was blind, but now I see. He's brought us out of ignorance as to who God is, who he is, who and what we are. He's given spiritual sight to the blind. He has set the prisoner free from their bondage of sin and from the curse of the law and from the religious ceremonies. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The law can demand no more of me than what I have in Christ. In him, I'm perfectly righteous. And he came to set those free and give light to those who sit in darkness. All this describes all men by nature. We are born in darkness, sit in darkness, live in darkness, and if God doesn't save us, we're going to die in darkness. But he came to set us free. He said, I am the Lord, this is my name, declaring who he is. And who he is has a whole lot to do with his ability to save us or not save us. And he says, I'm the Lord. That's my name. And my glory, my redemptive glory, I'll not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. This is not a God speaking, but the only God that is speaking, the creator of heaven and earth, Jehovah, the self-existent one. He relies on nobody. And he says he'll not give his glory to another. He will not give his redemptive glory to some graven image. He won't do that. Now behold, he said, the former things have come to pass. Now new things I declare, and before they spring forth, I tell you. Pay attention to this, he says. The things that I spoke to you of in the past, speaking to Israel. He told them they was going to go down into Egypt before they ever went there. And then he told them they was going to come out of Egypt. And they did. No dumb idol, no graven image ever told you what was going to come to pass. And then it came to pass. But he says, now I'm going to declare a new thing, glorious things concerning the Messiah, the Savior. And these things about him and concerning him, they shall come to pass too. They'll spring forth like seed sown in the ground, springs up at the appointed time. So will Christ, the seed of the woman that was promised back in Genesis. He will come at the appointed time. Now, I'm telling you of it before it comes to pass. So when it comes to pass, you'll know that it was of me. God never sneaks up on his people. No. He's always foretold what he's going to do. And then when it comes to pass, they realize this is of God. And because of this Messiah, because he will not fail, because of the salvation we have in him, sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein. The isles and the inhabitants thereof. Because of Christ, God's servant, we have much to sing about. Every believer has much to sing about. We have nothing. Absolutely nothing to complain about. Not if God has saved you in Christ. You have nothing to complain about. a new song, which is different from that old idolatrous song. He says, sing a new song, a song of praise to God that you never sang before, not before He saved you. And He's to be praised from one end of the earth to the other, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the whole world. And let those who dwell in the wilderness, the darkest parts of the earth, and those in the cities lift up their voice and praise to the Lord, who has saved us and washed us from our sins by His blood. Let those who dwell in the rocks sing also. Those that are the poorest of the poor, let them sing also, if God saved them. No matter what part of society you come from, I don't care if it's rich, poor, black, white, I don't care. If God has saved you in Christ, you have the right to sing and praise God. You are inferior to no one, yet you feel yourself above no one. Never hold back His praise. Declare it unto the remotest parts of the earth. And one day, He says there in verse 13, one day He's going to put to silence once for all Satan and all his enemies. He's going to rise up like a mighty man of war and put an end to all rebellion. He's going to roar like a lion over His prey. When Christ rose from the grave, He led captivity captive. He conquered all principalities and powers. And the last enemy He will destroy is death. But my friends, judgment's coming. Let people laugh at it, but judgment's coming. One day He's going to put an end to everything that offends. He said, I have for a long time held my peace and been patient. God is long-suffering for His elect's sake. But once He's taken them out of the way, He's going to destroy all things that offend. He will destroy and devour at once. In a moment, when this world thinks not, God will bring judgment. And there will not be a trace of sin left. He will destroy heaven and earth and replace it with a new heaven and a new earth. That's what He said. That's what He says in Revelation. He said, I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And there won't be one trace of sin or anything that offends. It'll all be destroyed. He said, I'll make waste mountains and hills, and I'll dry up the herbs, and I'll make the rivers islands and dry up the pools. Everything we count as strong and abiding, He said, He's going to bring it down and dry it up. There's not going to be a blessing left in this earth. And if your hopes and happiness is in these things, God's going to destroy it. But if your hope and happiness is in Christ, it'll only increase. It'll only increase. And He said, I'm going to bring this blind by way they knew not. I'm going to save sinners. I'm going to save Gentiles by way that they knew not, a way that they never heard of or saw before the gospel came to them. I will lead them in paths of righteousness that they have not known. The mysteries of the gospel that was hid from ages and generations, I'm going to reveal to them. They're going to know Me. And I'll not forsake them. He's able to save them to the uttermost, them that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. He will not forsake the work of His hand or the work of His servant. God's servant is successful. He shall not fail. Jesus Christ is the successful Savior. He shall not fail in saving His people. Until next time, may God bless His word.